Hello, and welcome to another episode of the Nintendo Entertainment Podcast. I am Triforce Todd, and joining me today is Warrior Will.
Now that I'm looking at the calendar, I just realized, oh my god, I'm going mad. It's only been a month, I think.
That was kind of deep, but also you've kind of been mad before. I mean, look at the stuff you watch. I mean, thankfully, you go through the roof. I mean, come on.
I mean, thankfully I got my games to keep me sane for the most part. But as the month has passed, it's been 3 weeks since this whole thing, like, and three podcasts since.
It was basically the middle of March, honestly, when this chaos all started. So, yeah, I was expecting you to say like it's only been a week since Final Fantasy came out. I felt like I've been playing it for longer.
Well, no. I have been playing this thing for a week. I actually did my first run recently.
That's for the next segment. Also here, of course, is Tilius Tyler.
Yeah, I feel like April is flying by. March took forever. March was like a year. April, on the other hand, I don't know why. I looked at the calendar today and was like, boom, April 16th already.
Yeah, it's crazy.
Did you guys get your stimulus checks yet?
I have not yet. And I found the perfect meme to solidify how it happened yesterday. And it goes like this. It's April 15th and the IRS just sent me money. Because it's true.
Right.
Tax day for those who don't pay taxes yet.
Yeah. And for all of you panicking, don't forget that they did extend the payments for the taxes for another couple months. So you're fine. But yes, I did get my stimulus check. My parents got their stimulus check. Some friends of mine have gotten it, but some other friends obviously haven't, like you guys. I have a friend in New York. She hasn't gotten it yet. So I kind of wonder if they're doing it alphabetically.
I've gotten mine, but that's a good question.
Oh, okay. So there you go. So you're Kelbaugh. Yeah. My friend's last name is Hernandez. So no, I guess it's not alphabetical.
Will's is Shadows.
It's K-O-K.
Which is after K-E-L of Kelbaugh, so I don't know. Anyway, I don't know. I don't know how they're doing it, but yes, I do hope you are getting your stimulus checks. I hope it helps out. And for the love of all, totally, don't spend it all on video games. I know you want to.
I really want to.
I know you do.
Or buy anything on Amazon right now.
I had to fight the urge to go and buy a $500 Wonder Woman statue to complete my DC Collectibles collection of Batman v Superman, which of course is one of the greatest superhero movies ever made. Anyway, but
I was just watching Justice League before the pod.
Justice League was okay.
It was rough. I didn't see the whole thing.
You know what happened with that movie, right?
Yes.
Okay,
yes.
So that movie gets the infinite pass. All right, because there is nothing that could have happened that would have made. We're not doing this. We're a Nintendo podcast. Anyway, I'm gonna be honestly. My money is already spent because I'm literally giving it to a person who has helped me get a car a few years back because I'm making payments on that. So I'm seeing this as an opportunity. It's like, hey, that's like 5 months of payments. So gone, whatever. It doesn't bother me. But for all of you, again, spend it wisely. If you need to use it to help your situation, do it. All right, this is meant to be a blessing. See it as such, okay? But don't spend it all on video games. If you want to buy a video game, if you want to go onto the eShop and buy, I'll be generous, $100 worth of video games to get you through the next few months, do it. Go ahead. You deserve it. But be smart with the rest of it, okay? One week later, Todd, we're all broke. I told you not to do that!
It definitely is something to think about because, I'm not sure if anyone has heard, but PlayStation released 2 free games for PS4 users. I wonder if Nintendo should do the same. I wonder. Nintendo, nudge, wink, wink.
Well, Nintendo's been doing a lot of sales on the eShop.
Sales, not free games.
Sales still helps, Will. And some of them have been, pretty good price cuts. And, of course, you got a lot of indie games on there that's under $10, so...
Yeah, but they always are running sales. I agree with Will. Let's get some free games.
Okay. Objectively, and I do mean objective, what games should they offer for free? If for nothing else, then let's say they do a 1 week download it for free sale or promotion or whatever. What one game should they offer for free?
So I'm biased.
Many PS that Switch users have not have received yet. I wonder.
Oh, see, I'm going a different way with it. I'm saying Splatoon 2.
I agree with that. Okay. That would be smart.
Would be a great one to play online. And then Mario Kart might be too good to be true, but I would love for them to offer that as well. Something you can play online with your friends.
I could see that just because it's been like, it's now almost been 3 years since its release. Because it was late April 2017, so that's enough time. Here's another one for you. ARMS.
ARMS came to mind right away. That was the first one I thought of, and I thought, well...
Especially with Smash Brothers coming out with the ARMS character as first part of Fighter Pack 2. That could be a good promotional boost for that.
Agreed. That's a great one.
So, obviously that's up to Nintendo if they want to do that, but... You know, you do have options out there. So again, if you want to spend a little bit of your money on your stimulus check to get you a game that you haven't gotten, you know, digitally or physically or whatever, go ahead and buy it. But still, be reasonable with it, all right? This is meant to help you get through the next few months. And yes, video games can get you through the next few months, as we have happily detailed here on the podcast in the past. But still be smart about it, okay? All right, so we have an interesting podcast lined up for you today. So we're going to get it all started off with, what have you been playing? I'll go first because, as promised, I have released my review of Saints Row 4 Re-Elected on the Nintendo Switch, and just like I thought it would, I would give it a 3.5 out of 5. It is very much the game that I knew it was when I played it on the PC many years ago, and I feel so old. I do, because it's like, this game came out like in 2013, and yeah. Anyway, but it's a fun game. It is mindless fun. It's awesome. It really is. And you're going to have a blast, both literally and figuratively, you know, doing superpowers, killing aliens, and just going crazy. And then if you do all the right missions, you're going to get this really cool... I'm going to spoil this. It's not really a spoiler. But if you do all the missions at the end, you get a really cool dance party cutscene at the end. And it's really hilarious and everything. So... Definitely go and watch or definitely go and play it if you haven't yet. It runs perfectly fine on the Switch. It really does. So that's a perfect mindless game. And then because I just really like this game and the previous one, I decided to just capitulate and I went and bought Saints Row the Third on the Switch, which is of course the game I worked on when I was with Volition many years ago, which again makes me feel old. But so I am looking forward to. I'm barely touching the game. I've barely gotten. Into the game, but I'm just already having a lot of fun. Saints Row 3 is just insanity. Mm-hmm. Like, pure, over-the-top insanity. There's a side mission where you're driving a tiger around in a car. I mean, what other game can you say that? Okay?
That's what, like, yeah, like, you pretty much said it, I think, like, in prior podcasts, like, even fans says, like, number 3 is considered the best one of the entries. Just because, like, one is just has a lot of heart. Like, Saints Row 2 was pretty awesome already as it is, but 3 just basically amped it up with humor, heart, and sometimes, like, just simply fun, actually. That's what I appreciate. And plus, again, just that all-star cast is just amazing.
Yeah, and I wrote a piece about gaming a very long time ago. I'm pretty sure it was, like, 10 years ago. It was called The Little Things in Gaming Make It Work. And I talked about, like, Paper Mario, Thousand Year Door, and certain other titles. And then I brought up Saints Row the Third. Because in Saints Row the Third, they help flesh out the lore of Steelport and the world via the radio. And if you listen to the various channels, you'll get, like, commercials for various stores. You'll hear, like, clips of the Nightblade series, which is, like, the major TV show in that world. You'll actually hear from the various villains, like, promoting how, quote-unquote, good they are and all that. And it's just hilarious, and I heard one that I've never heard before. It's about a hobo who goes into this store and dresses up like a police officer, and all of a sudden he's the chief of police. And you're like, that's ridiculous. And then you think about what the city of Steelport is, and I'm like, yeah, I believe it. Because that's Saints Row. What do you want? So I really love this game. I'm enjoying it very, very much. So I maybe... we'll be done with it by next week, and then maybe after that I'll finally dive into Sindered Shadows. I don't know, but I just when you just want to turn your mind off and just have fun, the Saints Row series is a perfect way to do that. So thank you.
Oh,
All right, I know what Will's been playing, so Tyler, I'm going to go to you next.
Well, the reason I said I was biased when I said Splatoon 2 is because I actually played Splatoon 2 for the first time in years since the last Splatfest, actually.
Really?
When I turned on the game, that was the last time I played it because they gave me the results. By the way, Team Chaos won. pleasant surprise, I got some goals and went on my way, but I was playing with one of my friends from up north. He's been asking if I could play for a while, and I finally am back in my apartment. I have decent internet, so we started, and then I called an old college friend, and he joined, and then I called my brother, DK DJ, and he joined. We had a party of four, and we ended up playing for 2 hours or so. It was just such a blast, even though it's still infuriating that when we were just doing Turf War, you can't play on the same team as your group, because we had a group of four. Like, I feel like you should be able to play with your friends on a team.
You could in Splatfests and then in Salmon Run, but yes. that was it.
Yeah, I mean, Turf War is my favorite thing to do. I like the ranked modes. I know you can in ranked as well, but we're not good enough to play ranked. One of my friends, my college friend Lorenzo, is a very good player. He is good enough to probably carry us to some ranked victories, but we were just trying to screw around. So I wish that they added that. Hopefully they do in the next one, but you never know with Nintendo. They are weird about things like that. But I mean, such a great game. They added a lot of arenas. Well, at least there were courses that I hadn't played before that were in the rotation. I don't know. There was one that was a basketball court arena. I'm trying to remember the name of it. It looked just like the Sixers Stadium, so I'm calling it the Wells Fargo Center. But it was a good map. I really liked the maps overall in Splatoon 2. The Kelp Dome I played a few times before I stopped. But that one's a good one as well. So that was really fun. And then I've also been continuing my Dragon Quest run. I'm kind of crawling along. I'm moving at a bit of a snail's pace there. But it's still been a fun game so far. A little too easy, maybe. I might have to impose some difficulty. I know that they have options that you can turn on to make the game harder. So I might do that. Maybe I'll try to challenge myself a little bit more. But so far, the plot has still been fairly straightforward. My roommate asked me to describe it to him. He's always interested in what I'm playing. And I told him, just think of all the JRPG tropes. That's this game. Like, the good and the bad, it's all, that is this game to an extreme. There's his spotty voice acting, and there's a lot of kind of fetch side quests, but overall, it's still a really fun, sprawling adventure. And I'm surprised by how good it looks on Switch. It's a very pretty game. Definitely one of the best visually third-party games on Switch, especially considering it's not overly fancy with its art style. It's something that it's pretty straightforward. You've seen before. It's not like Octopath with the cool, sprite style graphics. So yeah, it holds up well visually, performs perfectly. I'm definitely enjoying it. And I recommend it especially for this quarantine. Apparently it's like an hour or 100-hour game.
Mm. Oh, it's a long title, especially if you take your time with it.
Yeah. I mean, if you're trying to get everything, you could definitely go probably well beyond that. I feel like I'm just starting the game still, and I'm at like 15 hours. So very fun, though. I enjoy it.
And just a quick question, Tyler. Your friend, is he rank X, up there in the ranks?
In Splatoon, that's a good question. So he hadn't played for like 2 years. I'm going to say he is, but I'm not 100% sure. He's up there. He's going to be close to rank X.
Nice.
Yeah, I don't know how good. Like, I haven't played with you in a while. You might be better because I remember you being filthy at Splatoon. But he was really good compared to us, at least. He was like, this guy's character. Whenever he was on a team, he would win.
I mean, the last time I checked on the Nintendo Splatoon 2 app, like, I think the last time was like an S+4, I think, or S+3, S+4 around those marks. Like,
okay,
I know I'm at least at S ranks at least.
Yeah. So maybe I don't know. I'll ask him and I'll let you know.
All right, well, go, let us have it.
So, yeah, like, I have been continuing on my quest on actually just finished up my run of Final Fantasy VII Remake. And I gotta say, I can definitely see why a lot of people likes this, like, the original. And just speaking as a guy who just, as a newcomer to Final Fantasy VII, it just works. It just really works. I'm just amazed just how much it... got so much, like, basically enough for the old fans, but as well enough for the new to, like, really get anybody involved in it. Especially the, like, the last chapters and final boss. It really does captivate the wooden feelings of Final Fantasy VII in general. And right now I'm just basically going through trophy cleanup, seeing, also doing the extra things like the different outfits you can get for Cloud, Aerith, from Tifa, and also just doing the Heart Road switch. I gotta say, Square Enix, you are evil. I get it, you don't want us to use items, but the fact that benches or inns, you cannot replenish MP as well. Square Enix, you are evil when utilizing that as hard mode. I hate you for that. But overall, like, yeah, Final Fantasy VII is great, and hopefully we don't have to wait too long for the second part of the game to come out. So here's hoping. Here's hoping. And also, finally, if you have followed me on Twitter, I finally got my copy of my limited edition of Persona 5 Royal, which once I'm done with my trophy cleanup, I will be going into Persona 5 Royal once again and probably spend another 100 hours or as long as this quarantine is still in effect. So, and just briefly here on Faye, which, nothing really much on, again, the next banner, I think the next special banner is going to be due at the end of the month. Next mythic hero or legendary, one of those two. So overall, just continue grinding up orbs, all that, and yeah, Final Fantasy VII, just great times for all. So I'm holding myself well in this quarantine for now.
No, I was laughing because, I mean, Will, it took them how many years just to get the first 5 hours of the game from the original to a new form? So now they've got the next however many hours and the second disc to finish up. So yeah, let's see, it's 2020 right now. Part 17 or whatever will be out by 2050 at the latest, you know. We'll have holodex by then.
I just hope they live long enough to, like, for the full game to come out. Like, yeah, just like noticing everywhere, just, like, it's been 15 to 20 years since then, and here's hoping that they won't wait too long, and just like, until I'm an old man and finally playing Final Fantasy last part. Here's hoping. Square Enix, please do give us a schedule.
It's like you're gonna be talking to your kids and be like, I remember when part one came out, it was a glorious time in gaming. So just saying. All right, so with that, we are going to move on to the news. And while it hasn't been the biggest news week, there are some stuff to talk about. So it's time to go down the warp pipe. And we're going to start off with Animal Crossing, because some interesting things has happened recently. First and foremost, according to the latest report from Japan, Animal Crossing has been still doing incredibly well, including selling over 300,000 copies in the last week alone, meaning that they are now over 3 million copies sold just in Japan. And we don't have the numbers of the US or the UK yet. So I already said that they're clearly over 5 million. And now I not just reaffirm that. I would be shocked if they're not closer to 7 million by this point, because 2 for UK area and 2 to 3 for the US. Because there's no way Japan is the only one marketing or banking on this, especially with the quarantine coming down.
No, so. For sure. I mean, the only question for me is supply. Is the game stocked everywhere? Because I know Europe was having supply issues. Maybe they're lower there. But
digital.
That's true. People still, if you prefer physical, this long, you probably are still waiting.
So props to Animal Crossing. I'm glad it's doing well. I mean, we were thinking it was going to do well, but clearly it's breaking expectations. So props to them. I do want to note two more things. Number one, the Easter event is finally over.
Yes, the evil has been vanquished. That evil, evil bunny. Yes.
I mean, don't get me wrong. I mean, this was definitely a case of, you know, a Bill and Ted's Excellent Adventure. But it was so exacting to just do all those things that you're usually doing and then just getting eggs and return. Now, sure, when it was the first few times, I'm sure it was exquisite, but, you know, it's just so exacting, and it's just not...
You've used exacting multiple times, and you haven't said egg in your face one time.
Oh, that's good. That's the end. That was the finishing joke. I couldn't remember if I said exactly or exacting. Okay.
I have to be creative,
Tyler. It can't rely on you two. Zing.
Hey, please, as far as I'm concerned, all your jokes are very exasperating.
Ugh. Oh, really? Well, at least when I talk about my loves, my brain doesn't get scrambled.
Okay, that was a good one.
Thank you. See, the yolk's on you. Zing. Anyway, so I'm glad it's over so that people can get on with their lives and Nintendo can stop having. Tyler? The line. Say the line.
Egg on your face?
There you go!
Yeah,
see?
Yeah.
I told you, that was the end. Anyway, and then the other thing, and I posted this in the chat. I don't know if you guys actually watched it. They, Fandom Games did an honest trailer for Animal Crossing New Horizons.
Oh, yeah, I saw it. Yeah.
And it was really good, including labeling the bunny as the true evil. So, and Tom Nook as the Tanuki, who is also Satan. So, yeah. But it was actually a very positive, honest review, you know, talking about, you know, the beauty of the game while also lamenting the terrible internet that Nintendo still cannot figure out. So, yeah. But it was fun. Definitely go watch it. It's on YouTube. It's just look up Animal Crossing Honest Trailer, and it's a good time. So, I love the Honest Trailers. They're so funny. And so, and then for the movie one, they did Cats.
Oh no.
Yes. I refused to watch it, but I listened to it because they did it in musical form and they're just talking about how terrible this movie was. Oh, and true story, last Saturday, my mom called me up and she goes, "Hey Todd, we rented Cats. Would you like to come over?" And I just started laughing. Like hysterical, not fake laughter. And I'm like, "Oh my gosh, they rented Cats." And I warned them against watching it. And you know what they did? They tried to watch it. They lasted 7 minutes.
Wow.
Did they know how bad it's supposed to be?
My parents aren't exactly what you call a hip. My dad still doesn't know what internet tabs are. It doesn't know how to copy and paste. So
yeah,
it took my mother
similar.
Getting a new job to understand that. But I'm just saying. So
at least
I warned them, though, and they still watched it because they're like, "Oh, it can't be that bad." Then they turned it off 7 minutes later.
and if apparently that's also just the cut version of it as well, which
oh yeah,
yeah.
The butthole cut.
Yep.
I swear to I mean I know we're a Nintendo podcast, but I swear to God, if we get that cut before the Snyder cut, I'm out. I'm done.
At least heck, if we have one thing that will help wash it down, South Park's the fractured butthole.
That's true.
Oh, the fractured butthole. Okay, nicely played, Will. Nicely. Okay, moving on. Oh, continuing with Japan, a very interesting thing came out because of the coronavirus epidemic, and that is for the first time in seemingly ever, the PS4 topped the sales charts in terms of consoles. Now, why is that? It's because there were no Switches to sell. They were sold out in Japan, and so that's what it took for the PS4 to finally reassert control, is that there's no Switches to sell.
Like, this is probably the good problem to have, is like, yeah, like, we want to give you as much Switch units as possible, but again, the fact that, again, we're kind of stuck in a pandemic situation, unfortunately, the factories can't be making Switches right now, which is, a nice problem to have. It's basically the Wii situation, though, again. It's like, we're sold out everywhere, and yeah, now everyone's just trying to, like, either make money from scalping Switches or any of those sorts, but it is kind of an interesting problem to have.
Yeah, I mean, I wouldn't describe it as a good problem to have because clearly PlayStation's still making consoles and they are, you know, you always want to be at the top of that chart.
But come on, Tyler, the PS4 hasn't had like a major sales spurt since December.
No, so, yeah, I mean, that's true. It could
versus
be
the Switch, which keeps having like record sales, and that's why, you know, they're still around. But and in contrast, the PS4 has already sold over 100 million units. So anyone who's buying it now is like really late to the game.
Yeah, I mean, it's a layered issue for sure. But I think that Nintendo needs the fact that they are still having these supply issues or are having these supply issues again is a real it's a real problem that they need to address. I mean, I think they only sold 25,000 Switches in Japan, which is a huge step down. PlayStation 4 sold 80,000, which is, I mean, it's just a total, it's an astronomical number compared to 25,000.
True. And, but again, with the pandemic and the shipping and everything, it's something that's honestly out of their control for the most part.
Well,
for the most part, come on.
I mean, I agree. I don't know, and I don't think you guys know their supply lines or how that works, but they should be able to do a better job than they are. And you're right, I don't know how much of Sony's supply is because they've already had it in stores and they weren't moving, and now it's like, well, we don't have anything else to buy, so we might as well buy this. That could be true, but the Switch supply shortages are absolutely infuriating. And COVID has been, especially in that part of the world, around for 5 months. So
true.
I know they should be more proactive in finding solutions.
All right. So from sellouts to kind of head-scratching announcements. Today, Crytek revealed that they are making Crysis Remastered, which, if you don't remember, was one of a very big title. When did the original Crysis come out? I don't remember.
It feels like a long time ago.
I mean, it's
got
to be like around 10 years, right? I mean, it was a PC.
Give or take.
Yeah, let me look that up. I really don't know. I never really thought about it. It's like, when did it come out?
So while you were typing up, just hearing the news of Crysis coming to Switch. Because, like, first Crysis, a lot of people basically think you need to have a high-spec PC to play Crysis. Because if you want to get the best things, best-looking guns, best-looking features, then Crysis was pretty much the game for like anybody who having a high tech PC. So
you ready for this?
For it to come, okay.
2007. So they're making a remaster of a 2007 game, and the reason we're bringing it up is because they're bringing it to Switch, which is odd. Various reasons. I mean, as Will noted, you had to have a very high-end PC back in 2007 just to try and play Crysis. And now they're saying that they're, even with a remastered version, which you know they're going to push the technology, they're bringing it to Switch?
It's going to be interesting to see, like, if they can really do it justice of the Crysis name. Like, to put all that, like, is it determined whether it be physical or digital?
I don't know. We only know the teaser trailer and the platforms coming out.
Okay. Like, if it is going to be coming physical, that's going to be very curious. Like, how is it going to fit everything into on the Switch cartridge? But again, it has been doable. So it's going to be interesting to see if they can manage to like bring something like fairly high fidelity game like Crysis to a Switch. It's going to be interesting to see.
Yeah, I think we were talking last week about how gun games don't do as well on Switch outside of Doom. So this will be an interesting litmus test, I suppose. I'm glad that they're bringing it, though. I mean, I'm never going to be upset about people bringing games to Switch.
Oh, neither am I. It's curious, because again, when this came out, this was supposed to be like the end-all be-all of like graphical power in a video game, and you had to have like super-powered PC just to play it. And people, for whatever reason, decided, okay, I'll upgrade, and okay, fine. And now it's like, oh no, we can get it on Switch.
Yeah.
So it's just like, I don't know if we've advanced that far in 13 years. I mean, yeah, we definitely have, but still. And I want to segue that to another one, which is World War Z, which came out last year and was a surprise hit. It's coming to Switch as well. And the team is stating that it's the hardest thing that they have ever had to do in regards to porting World War Z to the Switch, which, first of all, what a bunch of whiners. And second of all, this is what he said. They go, the biggest challenge was finding which compromises could be made to the game, which wouldn't have a significant impact on the visuals. We needed to make sure the game looked great, fit into the Switch's memory, and ran at a solid frame rate. There was really no single factor which made this a reality. We experimented constantly for the first few months until we found that balance. Keep in mind that we are rendering scenes with hundreds of enemies and 4 players online. Getting this to run on Switch is the hardest thing we've had to do. This is true even though we are porting our own Swarm engine over to the platform. So, don't get me wrong. I get it. you're trying to make a great port. That should be the goal of everyone. But to say that this is the hardest thing you've ever had to do, you know, aside from, I don't know, like making the game. All right. And making it good and making it sell. Any developer worth their salt will tell you that that's the hardest thing, is making the dang game and making it so that people will want to buy it. That's the hardest thing. Making a port, sure, yes, it can be hard, but I think they're trying to oversell it, which we don't need, because we all know that ports to the Switch don't always look great.
Right.
And we accept that. Some look amazing. Some not so much.
Mortal Kombat.
Mortal Kombat.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, yeah, Mortal Kombat. Let's not forget about Mortal Kombat, yeah.
Never forget Tyler's second favorite game after Xenoblade Chronicles.
It's... like, for to be fair, because, like, I have seen gameplays of World War Z, and, yeah, just, like, even on PS4 style, like, having that entire swarm of zombies coming at you, like, it's quite a spectacle to see. So, if they can actually manage to go and have some, if not to that level, on the Switch, that would be quite an impressive feat. So, to be fair, like, having that many mass of zombies appearing would be taxing. And again, it's like just a little bit better than the PS3. So, but for them to say it's going to be the toughest thing, maybe that's a little bit over-exaggerated. Like, again, the people have done good port jobs. I mean, look at Doom, look at Wolfenstein. Those things were bloody great, amazing games. So, but, I mean, heck, if they had to make it at least set frames of 30 frames per second, go by all means, go ahead. It's like, just do whatever you can with it. Again, make the compromises, do whatever you can. And, like, again, the pretty much like right now, the pinnacle of a great port would be Crony with Wolfenstein and Doom right now. So just look at them. Look at their examples.
Yeah, okay. I completely agree with Will. I mean, that's really the... I don't care what the rhetoric is. It, as long as the execution is at the level of what Bethesda's done, it'll be worth it.
If it looks good and it plays well, then, you know, props to them. But I just something just rubs me the wrong way of them saying, oh, yeah, making it for the Switch is the hardest thing we've ever had to do. Well, clearly not, because you got it to work. And, you know, you're talking about it, so I don't know. All right, next up, we have... oh, yes, another curious thing. Burnout Paradise. Now, this was announced in the recent Nintendo Direct Mini.
Mm-mm-mm.
Right. That was 30 minutes long. And that's fine. And again, another port from yesteryear that's coming in. But the curious thing is that it's going to be $50. Like, it's already labeled that on the Nintendo eShop. And a lot of people are kind of weirded out by this, including myself, because it's currently $20 on the Xbox One and the PS4. Which I know, yes, that's a digital title, and I understand that, but, like, a $30 jump? I don't know.
Yeah, yeah. Like, a lot of people have been more or less calling it the Switch tax. Like, if they're going to bring it up to the physical, then yes, it's probably because of the whole Switch tax thing. And, yeah, just that whole disparity, like, that jump of $30 is, like, I mean, if it is $40, okay, maybe it doesn't want to hurt that much, but the price as a full-price game, which has been so long, is a few years old already now, Nintendo, what are you doing? It should be at least at most $40, but $50 full price game, forget about it. Like, Nintendo, what are you doing?
I mean, when I bought Saints Row the Third, it was, let's see, about $33, and it was on like a 10%. It was like a 30%, or sorry, a 10% discount. So it was like $35, $36, and I happened to have a bunch of gold coins that I used to pay off the tax. So, you know, I was good. So, but that was fair for the whole game and the DLC, which I've honestly never played before, so that's extra content. But, yeah, for Burnout to be $50, like, if Saints Row the Third was $50, I wouldn't have paid for it. I honestly wouldn't have, because I'm like, I don't need to replay it that much. My ego doesn't need that much stroking. Or it doesn't. It's like, oh, look, there's a bug that I fixed. Anyway, but, yeah, I don't know. I mean, I get the whole, you know, it's a cartridge versus digital. I get that, but I don't know. It just doesn't feel right to me. All right, moving on to yet another port. Jump Force.
Why?
Boom. We got Why? Jump Force.
We got Jump Force.
We got it. It's on Switch.
No, it's going to be on Switch.
It's going to be
it's
on Switch.
It's going to be on Switch. It's like, but, and then when it comes around, we can say, don't worry, I am here. Oh, don't grow. That was a perfect All Might impersonation. Shut up, Will.
You know, it was so good.
I have no problem with All Might. Like, again, they're going to bring on the whole DLC characters like Namco Bandai's greedy ways now and then. But I just can't ask them, why the heck would they want to bring Jump Force of all games? Again, they brought some good products like the Ultimate Ninja games onto Nintendo Switch, which, again, runs pretty good. It's a very fun brawler. But Jump Force, everyone pretty much agrees that thing is... not really good, and you want to go with Nintendo's online service. I mean, it was bad enough that on the PS4, I even was in part of the beta. It was pretty bad on the PS4, and to bring it on to Nintendo Switch with Nintendo's online structure, yeah, that's not really gonna look nice. Especially like there is an online hub, and that thing's gonna make things very laggy. You thought like Pokemon Sword and Shield was online was laggy. Please. But Jump Force is gonna be. I just have bad predictions on this one.
Again, when this game like was announced, I actually appreciated it because it was, you know, it was Shonen Jump, but it was also the other series. You know, they had Yugi, they had Hunter x Hunter. You know, they had all these major animes coming together for My Hero Academia. They had all these great, you know, characters coming together for the first time, and it was actually kind of awesome to think about. And then we actually like saw the cutscenes where it was like little to no animation outside of the lips flapping, and it's just like, what are we watching? Like when you see Frieza doing his like classic crossed arms pose, talking, and then just rising up out of the screen like with minimal movement, it's just like, did you have no budget? I mean, did you spend the budget trying to get all these characters together? Because that's not how it's supposed to work. So.
I'm pretty much speechless. Like,
yeah,
why they would bring this game? And apparently, like, I remember back in the last awards, like the best fighting game, it was apparently nominated the best fighting game. Which that thing was a joke.
Yeah,
like why the heck? How he got the nomination? I will have no idea.
Now, see, what they should have done was they should have taken like all the characters that they got and put them in a situation like Marvel vs. Capcom. Because that would have been dope if they had done it the right way. You know, especially if they had leaned into their more anime aesthetic. Like, it could have been Dragon Ball FighterZ on crack.
Oh, Dragon Ball FighterZ was... That's the best.
I honestly couldn't get into it, but whatever. But I know it was... Go ahead.
On why they're bringing it, though, you mentioned Dragon Ball FighterZ, and that reminded me of... I know the Dragon Ball Xenoverse games sold well on Switch.
Yes, they did.
Fair enough. It was a good one.
Now, I've never played these games, so this could be ignorant, but I think they're similar in play style, right?
No.
Stop. Xenoverse and Jump Force, kind of.
That's what I'm saying.
They're 3D. No, FighterZ was very much Marvel vs. Capcom.
No, yeah, I know FighterZ is a classic. But Will, you're saying they're different. Is it Jump Force very different from Dragon Ball Xenoverse?
It is quite different. Like, with Xenoverse is, again, you're making your own Dragon Ball character from different races, and actually does the source material justice. For Jump Force, that you basically put together a Frankenstein monster of your avatar from different moves from the Kamehameha to different things from Spirit Balls. Like, it's basically you making your own little Frankenstein. It just feels like it's okay. Have a guy use Chidori while also doing a Kamehameha. Fine. But again, Xenoverse is much more respectable of its material than with Jump Force.
At the very least, they're both anime fighters, and those have done fairly well on Switch, and maybe that's why they're bringing it. My younger brother is a fledgling anime fan. Well, I guess now he's been into it for a little longer than I think, but he got it, and he actually really liked Jump Force. Yeah, I kept asking him about it because I was curious if he was going to turn on it like everybody else did. I think he still says that he liked it overall. So
I mean,
I don't know. Maybe there's a market for it.
Yeah. And don't forget.
There is a cathartic fun for Jump Force because, again, one, it is very flashy. Again, with JoJo, with Tokyo, yeah, I think one's
Naruto.
Yeah, see, he got Naruto, and I think he loves Luffy D.
No. There's like a very old one, I think it was City Hunter. Yeah, I think it was City Hunter. But yeah, like it's just very flashy, and plus the social moves. Of course, Yugi having freaking Slay for the Sky Dragon was just amazing.
Yes, that was awesome.
Is like, again, it's very flashy and it has at the moment. It's just, but just everything else, you can see like the cracks is just very apparent.
For all the crap we're throwing at it, it was technically one of the best selling games of 2019. Like, people bought it, I guess, for the spectacle alone, not realizing that it was very much a broken game So that's why you don't. That's why you look before you leap, ladies and gentlemen. Just saying. All right, moving on to a curious thing, and I'm not. This doesn't technically apply to Nintendo, but it does in its own way. As you know, one of the best-selling games of last year was Resident Evil 2 Remake, and then this year we had Resident Evil 3 Remake, and it sold well enough, I guess, and it was not as praised as 2, but still well-liked. And so Capcom wasted no time. I said Square Enix, I was thinking about Final Fantasy. I'm like, well, everyone's doing remakes. What do you want? But no, Capcom wasted no time in saying that they are already going to do a Resident Evil 4 remake. And I'm kind of questioning that because, A, it really doesn't need one. I mean, think about it. It was on the GameCube and then was ported to virtually every other console imaginable at the time, including the Wii. Two, at the time, it actually had really good graphics. I mean, this wasn't like, you know, 2 and 3 with, you know, like the very clunky models and everything. Resident Evil 4 was very crisp, especially for a GameCube game. And then all the ports, obviously. So, and a lot of people are actually mad about this because they're skipping other key Resident Evil things like Code Veronica and some other ones. And so is Capcom kind of just rushing into this hoping that they'll buy it? Because I don't know if this will actually sell as well, because again, with 2 and 3, these were long, long ago games that needed the remake. Whereas with 4, sure, it'll look more like, say, Resident Evil 6, but does it really need the remake right now?
Yeah, like even with our current staff as well, I know Mies was pretty vocal about it, and I mean I've seen a lot of playthroughs. My cousins play through as well on the PS2, and one Resident Evil 4 is one that place where it's pretty near perfect. Like it has that sense of cheesiness of like old action films, but at the same time it just basically was one of the staples of Resident Evil, like really brought it back. Again, Leon Kennedy, Ashley, of course, how annoying she can be, but also just it checks off the marks very well from gameplay to everything else.
I'm surprised you didn't say the femme fatale of the game. She seems more your type.
And it's just like having Capcom to announce this thing to be in development now is like, one, we have so much iterations and just ports of it already, and now you want to go for a remake. Like, how much do you want to go and milk the Resident Evil fan base? And plus, there's also that transition because, like, Resident Evil 2, original was, of course, like very polygonic back on the PS1 days and just brought to the current generations. It was great. It didn't do too much sacrifice from its original main source material. And that's kind of like one of the problems for the remake is because, one, are they going to lose that sense of cheesiness? Is it going to like lose anything during transition, especially with the years since it first released it? That's one of the main issues. Because again, like where did you guys go? Bingo? Like, would it have that sense of cheesiness? Would it have like that? Like, of course, the merchant, like, thank you. It's just, there's a lot of things that people, like, you don't mess with perfection. You don't have to reinvent the wheel. Resident Evil 4 is fine. Don't touch it. So Capcom touching this property again is, yeah, Capcom, you're kind of getting a little bit greedy here.
Yeah, I'm not a Resident Evil fan. So I just try to liken it to, like, what if Nintendo was releasing a port of, say, I don't know, a Fire Emblem game every year, of like an old Fire Emblem game, would I be excited? And like, the answer is like yes, but I'd be less excited every single time it came out. So I'm sure for some people this will be something that they
I gotta stop you right there though. If it was like, think of it like, imagine if it was, instead of getting like remakes of, you know, Genealogy of the Holy War, Thracia 776, games we've never played before or haven't seen in good view, we instead got a port of Awakening.
Right. No, I mean, I know that Resident Evil 4 has been released a gajillion times.
Literally.
But yeah, like again, and I don't know like when the most recent version of that came out. The GameCube was a long time ago. Yeah, I will say
but
that.
But we had the Wii version. I think that might have been it. I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, that's fairly long ago. I don't think it's the worst thing in the world, but I do agree that at some point, you know, your hype for it will die down. And two was Game of the Year candidate, and
yes,
three certainly has not gotten that buzz. So, you know, it does feel as though they might be just rushing these out. You know, hey, listen, it's not coming to Switch, so we...
No, we don't have to worry about it.
You're right, exactly.
I mean, it's like...
We have the true version from the GameCube and the Wii, so you can have your, you know, remastered hyper graphics or whatever. We got the real version. All right. So, all right, moving on. Finally, some real Nintendo news. Okay, as you all know, the Pokemon Sun and Moon anime has ended here in the U.S. and over in Japan, they have been playing the next iteration of the franchise, simply called Pokemon. And there had been no real update as to when or if we were even going to get the English dub translation. Thankfully, it appears that we are going to get it. And the title for this the English translation is going to be called Pokemon Journeys, the series. And the reason it's called this is because it's not going to be focused solely in the Galar region, which is the current realm we're in with Pokemon Sword and Shield. Ash is going to be doing a victory lap with a new... trainer named Go or Gao or however you want to say it, and he's going to be going across all the various regions again doing a victory lap of his Alola League victory, and he's going to be catching a whole bunch of new Pokemon and old Pokemon and having new adventures and old adventures and seeing old friends again. Please have Serena in the series, I'm just saying. And so it's good that we are getting it because I really liked Sun and Moon X and Y. I still revere to this day, and so if they're keeping that up, I think it's going to be a lot of fun. So I'm very happy to hear about this. Let's just get it on Disney XD soon so I can watch it alongside DuckTales and have a true Saturday morning cartoon block again. I miss it. Okay? I am 30 years old and I miss my Saturday morning cartoons.
Listen, I hear you. Cartoons are fantastic.
I lament it. I mean, this used to be my life, and I remember causing my mom some grief because she told me that one day I would have to wake up and not watch Saturday morning cartoons, and I did a fake cry and ran out of the room, and they didn't like that, and now it's like the joke's on me because they were right. It's like my parents knew. I mean, how could they know? They're old. That's why. Anyway, so I'm looking forward to this. Please get the English translation to us as soon as possible. Although, ironically, because of the coronavirus, the series is going to be delayed because of production. So, yeah.
Gosh, there's nothing. I hate coronavirus so much.
I hate it.
It's my least favorite thing.
Again, I was proudly saying, even if just like last week, that I really wasn't getting affected outside of the comic book industry. And now it's like, I know that business opportunities that I could have had are either shut down or going to be extremely delayed. I wake up nowadays, and even when I have work, which usually is enough to get me energized, I just want to stay in bed. Saturday, I literally did as little to no work as possible. I think I did like one script or whatever and just played like Saints Row until I was done. And then I started playing Saints Row 3 and I watched Supernatural and everything. I wanted a day to myself because I just wasn't feeling anything. So I want this to be over.
Plus, again, aside from like not doing anything at all, it's like also affecting everybody in income, myself included. Like, yeah, like virus Chan, please, can you tone it down a little bit, or at least how our government is currently acting right now?
Oh god, don't get started on that.
Virus Chan, that was funny.
Virus Chan. Now, listen, guys, I'm going to tell you that this everything's going to be fine, okay? I am going to force open the economy this upcoming May 1st. I know you might have heard that there's already a lockdown extension. It's not true. And just so you know, because I want to tell you guys first, my next election campaign, which you know I'm going to win, I am going to have a new running mate, and his name is Vincent Kennedy McMahon, okay? He's the greatest vice president. That's why I've hired him, to help me restart the economy, because if anybody can help me restart a business, it's a genius like Vincent Kennedy McMahon. I'm just saying. I felt good. Anyway, and now you can say I called it April 16th, 2020. Vince McMahon is going to be the next vice president of the United States. That's where we're heading. That's where we're heading. Anyway. Moving on to other news. A very rather strange story, if I'm being honest with you. One of the heads of the Bravely Default games came out, and it was producer Tomoyo Asano, and he spoke with Famitsu, and he said he wanted to apologize for Bravely Second. Like, seriously. He said the expectations didn't meet demand or whatever. He goes, quote, "Before getting more into the Bravely Default 2 details in this interview, I'd like to apologize to the fans about Bravely Second. There are parts of the game that didn't meet many expectations fans had. The development team deeply reflected on Bravely Second's problems, and it showed in all our following projects," end quote. And apparently, like, their feelings about Bravely Second was what influenced how Octopath Traveler was, and then Bravely Default Fairy's effect on mobile, and it was because of the combination of those things that we are getting Bravely Default 2, which we talked about the demo a few weeks back. So... okay.
Yeah, this was really weird to me. Like, I liked Bravely Second. Like, I thought the original was better, but purely because I liked the characters more. It has been a while since I played Bravely Second, but at the same, I don't remember like 100% everything about the game. But like, I don't know. It was a pretty good game. Like, I didn't realize that there was backlash to it, and apparently. From what I've read, I think a lot of people are kind of confused at where this apology is coming from, because it was a pretty good game. I don't remember people being even upset when it came out.
I mean, there was like just that one little hubbub during the whole classes thing, but overall, like, the only thing I remember from that game was Magnolia Arch, like from that teaser clip at the end of the first game, and just how the game itself. Like, utilizes many different accents to emphasize of different cultures. That's the only thing I remember about.
Also, yeah, like,
go ahead.
No, like, Magnolia, I remember being cool, but what you said, Will, that there was something earlier, something with the classes.
Yeah, like the class systems. Like, apparently, like, one was like a bit of an Indian thing, which a big no here in the America states. The like Indian class. That
Okay. Yeah, I vaguely remember that. But I don't know, do you think that's what they were talking about?
Kind of highly doubt it, because, again, Japan really doesn't give much, doesn't really care about that kind of issues, aside from here in America. But, yeah, like, going back on topic, just going to the whole thing, a lot of people kind of say going to the whole naming thing as well. I just, like, make Bravely Default 2, Bravely Second. Yeah, that's kind of confusing. I'm sorry.
Yeah, we do have something on that. He goes, "On naming Bravely Default 2, the team needed a name displaying how Bravely Default 2 is a departure from past games, characters in a new outlook." So I guess they thought like Xenoblade Chronicles and how they handled it, because they were X and then 2, even though it technically was the third game.
Yeah, so that's maybe... definitely a good comparison point.
I mean, like, this is part of Square Enix, so apparently they're getting their names from the Kingdom Hearts team.
Also, I liked your adequate feelings on the matter, Will. Japan doesn't care. That applies to so much.
Yeah, they don't, which I gotta give some respect to them. Yes, they don't.
Okay. Alright, moving on. We have, let's see, where are we at? Oh, yeah, we have, I wanted to slightly talk about this. This is a nice little uplifting thing in our days of woe. Final Fantasy VII Remake is officially coming to Switch. Oh, wait, hold on. Sorry, read that wrong. My bad. We wish. I would buy it. I would buy it. I would. Anyway, the voice actress behind Aerith, what's her name, Will?
Something Britain, yeah.
Anyway, okay.
I know,
well,
like, she has a YouTube channel on Strange Rebel.
I asked
Rebel
a simple
Gamer.
Question, Will. Okay. That was all I asked. Anyway, so the voice actress behind Aerith in Final Fantasy VII Remake, I guess, like a lot of people, she doesn't really watch herself in video games or tries to listen to her voice, but she decided to do a stream or whatever, and she got to the point where Cloud officially meets Aerith, and as she hears herself talking, she literally starts to cry, because this was apparently for her, like, this major, major moment, and, you know, seeing her voice attached to a classic character who has only been voiced, I believe, in one other thing. Oh, yeah, well, Kingdom Hearts. So, even then. So to have that happen and for her to be part of this game and everyone loving the game and loving her interpretation of Aerith and everything, that meant a lot to her. And that's just one of those things where you can't help but smile.
Mm-mm.
You know?
And the name is Brianna White.
There you go. There you go. Miss Brianna White. So to you, Miss White, we thank you for being Aerith. We thank you for putting a lot into how you interpreted her voice and her, you know, how she talked and everything. The game is doing really well. It's being praised a lot. So to you and to all the people who helped make Final Fantasy VII Remake sound amazing, we thank you.
Yeah, just FYI, there is a lot of star power voice cast. Like, oh, yeah. The main cast has some new people. But there is a lot of veterans here in the cast that for NPCs and everything else.
The guy who plays Sephiroth is Tyler Hoechlin, who is Superman in the Arrowverse.
Really?
Yeah, so how's that for a contrast? Oh, what's your resume? Oh, I'm Superman? Oh, that's wonderful. And I'm Sephiroth. Okay! This guy's got range.
It's like really great departure. And again, remember, the original voice for Sephiroth was one of the original for NSYNC or Backstreet Boys. I get confused with the two. With Lance? I forgot.
Oh, Lance Bass. Yeah. They had the guy from NSYNC being Sephiroth. Try and wrap your hand around that.
So it's definitely a great departure. But yeah, going back to Brianna White is, yeah, her performance throughout the entire game, I can tell, is just like, it just matches the character of Aerith so well. And just that reaction video of hearing the actor who played the character acting like that, which, as a fan as well, who actually was involved in the game, is just, I can only imagine how it is with voice actors, like, that you witness your performance in the game. I mean, there's something special about that, and especially like with a legendary game like Final Fantasy VII, to be involved in any part of it, it would definitely cause you to feel some emotion. So yeah, Brianna White, and also with her channel of Straight Rebel Gaming, she almost is like Aerith in a sense. So yeah, just great reaction. Thank you for your performance, and here's hoping to the future that the next game won't be too long so we can hear more of your performance.
Yeah, we'll see you in 2030. Tyler, any thoughts on this?
Well, I actually know the voice of Celica from Fire Emblem voices Jessie, I believe.
Yes.
And she said
Erica
she had
Lindbeck. Erica Lindbeck.
Lindbeck, and she apparently had a similar kind of reaction to events of the game. Hearing,
having to vote. Like a lot of people love Jesse.
Well, the irony is that in the original game, Jesse and some of the other characters die within like the first hour, and so you only get like brief glimpses of their characters, and then so with Remake, of course, the first 5 hours of the original game is expanded into 30, so you get to spend a lot more time with them, and apparently everyone loves Jesse now because she's like a flirt and she's an epic boss, so. Okay, like at that, I'll praise them expanding the characters to make them more lovable.
Yeah, just don't fall for it. She already pays me my heart. She's a heartbreaker, yo.
Psych. But yeah, I'm glad that she is happy with her performance and that everyone's reacting positively to it, because that's something we don't really get to talk about, is the voice acting in video games. Like, we talked about it a little bit with Fire Emblem because that was obviously a key part. And or like when we heard Zelda for the first time in Breath of the Wild, but you know, voice acting, especially in like cinematic games like Final Fantasy, like a Fire Emblem or Resident Evil, you know, they really help make the game at times. And when it's bad, you know it.
Yes, for sure.
For sure. I will always remember Star Ocean Till the End of Time on PS2. Because they had some really fun voice actors, and then they had this one girl, I believe it was Tynave or Farlene, and she had the most high-pitched voice ever! And she's, like, yakking on and on and on. I'm just like, oh, my ears. I hear dogs barking. Yeah, so when voice acting is good, appreciate it. That's all we're saying. All right, so to our main event. And once again, we're going to go a little bit outside the box because we're going to be looking at the upcoming release of the PS5 and the Xbox Series X. Such a stupid name. I mean, seriously, Xbox Series X. That's a Wii U thing, I swear. Anyway, but we have a potential price announcement for one of the consoles, and we have our thoughts about it, and we're going to talk about what Xbox and Sony really need to do with their prices to really rival the Switch. So we're going to talk about this in a Nintendo discussion. All right, Tyler, you had the prices and numbers, so lay some knowledge on people.
Right. So the current reports, I don't believe there's a report out for the Xbox. For the PlayStation 5, it's rumored to be between $500 and $550. Yes, and they've also said that I believe in the first year they're only expecting to ship 5 or 6 million or manufacture 5 or 6 million PlayStation 5s. That seemed strange, but that's what was on the IGN report. So that got me thinking, well, what does this kind of mean for Nintendo as PlayStation and Sony prepare to launch their next consoles? To which you wisely spun into what do they need to do to surpass Nintendo. And just personally, I think the $500 price mark is a huge mistake on Sony's behalf. I think that the Switch being $300 now with a likely pro model coming at some point, meaning a price cut to the original, I feel like Nintendo is really in a powerful position price-wise if this report turns out to be true.
Yeah. So, I don't know. It's complicated because we are in a very interesting position right now. And I don't just mean because of the global pandemic. I'm talking about where we are in terms of the view of history. Because we can look back at the various more recent console generations and see where Sony and Xbox went right and where Sony and Xbox went wrong. For example, we can all look at the Wii era and say that Xbox did okay by making their 360 a certain price, but then the PS3 was stupidly expensive, like $600 for that brick. And I mean, you could kill people with that thing. You really could have. And, you know, we all saw where that ended up. Sony was at the bottom. But then with PS4, what was the PS4 starting price? Like 400?
I believe it was 400.
Yeah. So that's, you know, that's a $200 less. Definitely a more powerful console, but still $200 less. They made sure that they were smart about it, and it sold over 100 million units. And then with the Xbox One, well, we all know what went wrong there. Price didn't help. And so now they have the Switch to contend with, which is, you know, A, portable, which at present we don't think that PS5 or Xbox Series X is going to be that. And B, it's cheap, $300. And that's, you know, you don't, it does, they don't, we're not saying they have to match $300. That more than likely would not be smart because of profit. Okay, but there's a difference between wanting profit and wanting to make, you know, buku bucks on a console, because that's what they tried to do in the Wii era with the PS3 and the Xbox 360, and it honestly backfired on both of them because fans just wanted to play games. So this is not, if this report is true and it's $500 to $550 plus tax, don't forget the tax, Tyler. That's big and not good. I mean, impossible to sell? Of course not. They sold well early on with the PS3 before people started to wise up. But that's a dangerous number. I would say they would need to get as close to the original PS4 price. I'm saying $400 to $450. I think that would be smart because people would still expect a lot from the PS5. Same with the Xbox Series X. I'd say $350 to $450 for them. And if they can match that, I think they have a much better shot of taking on the Switch, because right now the Switch is firing on all cylinders, even with them being sold out, because they know that the games are still coming. We really don't know what's coming for the PS5 and the Xbox One, outside of a few things like Halo Infinite or the Godfall game and certain things like that. But even then, I mean, like, what is going to drive it day one? We don't know. And we have had no information on either console really since then. So, you know, they need to make sure that they have the right price, or they're going to fail again.
Yeah, I'm getting some premonitions back off the original PS3 release. Like, when first announced, like, the $600 price tag is like, yeah. And, I mean, the only thing I probably say that's probably the benefit of the PS5's pricing is because, like, I recall the whole GDC conference of talking about the whole specs. Apparently, like, our boss, Cooper Key, has talked about it and seems to be fairly impressed about the specs wise of how it can do again the whole 4K gaming with no drop, no loading times, no frame rates, no transitions. Like it just like seamlessly can play no problems whatsoever. I mean, I can't imagine like if F7 had no loading screens, it's just completely seamless. Like the possibilities is out there, and they're really trying to sell that this system can do that alongside with 4K, Blu-rays, just seamless thing. So that's probably the only thing that's probably a justification for that major price range. But in terms with like in competition with Nintendo, that's the one thing that kind of has the only thing that's going for it. As you said, like we don't really have know much of its launch games with the system, like Godfall and all that. No doubt about it, they're gonna probably include a Final Fantasy VII remake with this thing because again, it's an iconic title. But if you want to be as competitive with the Nintendo Switch, like the only reason like Nintendo was doing well back then is because again, we always do know that Nintendo always done their own thing. It wasn't meant to be a home theater console. Xbox and Sony were basically trying to do everything in terms of power. And now PS5 is trying to basically really double up on that. So if they really want to like really compete with Nintendo Switch, one is obviously the pricing. Like just maybe knock it down a little bit more just to make it more affordable for the consumer. And just really as well, it's just again, it's really when it comes down to it, it really is about the games. Like what kind of games do you want to get? Like Switch, we always had Mario, Zelda for PS5. I mean again, with Konami, again, Kojima's out of the game now. And what other properties? I mean, sure you have Knack, Persona, all these other titles but just what is it you have to really push this thing aside from the hardware specs? So they really have, like with anybody else, they have to like really push and sell why PS5 would be so attractive aside from its price point.
Yeah, I mean, the games obviously is usually the deciding factor, but I do think, you know, expecting people to want to pay $100 extra for seamless loading times. I mean, I'm thinking like Fire Emblem Three Houses, for example, had fairly long load times, and it was still like 20 seconds max. Like load times are not bad. Generally these days, load times are not bad. It's not really.
Yeah.
I don't think that's a problem. And you're right, Will. They are putting a lot of focus on that, but I think that's a mistake. I mean, yeah, cool. Spider-Man can load like in six less seconds on this. That's not worth $100. It's only 6 seconds. So I don't think that that's a great approach. I do think Sony kind of got lucky with E3 being canceled this year because I have a suspicion about Microsoft actually kind of bringing it with its new console. We've seen them kind of make a lot of good decisions here late in the Xbox One's life. It reminds me in some ways of actually Nintendo towards the end of the Wii U making a series of smart business decisions that led to big success early with the Switch, kind of including a general shift in development for at least the Wii U, a massive shift in development from let's get these final Wii U games out to, you know what, we're cutting our losses here. We're going to focus on Switch and have everything in that first year be great. I think Microsoft is kind of in a similar boat there. And with Game Pass, they have a ton of momentum. So I think if they had an E3 show and Sony didn't, I do think that they may have been able to get an even bigger leg up there. Nintendo is leaving themselves open. I think, though, I said at the beginning of the year, and I'll say it again, I think they should have released a pro version of the Switch this year to compete, especially if they could release a pro version at $300. Assuming these two consoles both come in around that $500 price range, I think that's a powerful number, almost being half the price for a console with so many incredible games.
I would counter that though, because I mean, and granted, this is the benefit of hindsight, but especially now with what's going on with Corona, if they could not ship out, because again, we don't know about the shipping lines for Nintendo, but if they were like planning to make it and say release it in, say, let's be fair, July, okay, if they were going to release it in July and yet we're still on lockdown and, you know, pinching pennies where we can, then I would argue that they wouldn't get a lot of sales. One of the reasons they even acknowledged that one of the reasons that the Nintendo Switch Lite sold so well at the beginning was because they paired it with Link's Awakening. So unless they had that and there was a game that we know we had to play out the pro version for one reason or another, that may not have been the best sales move. So again, I know this is hindsight because we didn't know about the corona and everything, but they might have lucked out because if they do push this to 2021 when everyone has the money again to buy the pro version and they have even more games to show off the shinier graphics, then that actually works to their benefit.
You know, it could. I could see a world where the PlayStation and the Xbox launch in November and people still aren't, you know, the economy's still not back on its feet, which it won't be. Yeah. And people aren't buying the consoles because of that. I could see that being a factor for sure. And then Nintendo releases an updated Pro model in the summer, and it's like, whoa, this is the next cool thing. And the kind of the PS5 and the Xbox One X or whatever miss that, whoa, cool new toy initial wave. I could see that. But I also think having them on the shelves at the same time this holiday, in a world where the economy is better and the recovery goes smoother than expected, being able to kind of undercut them by such a large margin, hopefully with a big title, maybe it is the suite of remade Mario games, that would have, in my opinion, been very helpful. We'll never know. As it stands, it seems like they're not going to be releasing a pro model until 2021. Maybe it will work out, as you said. But yeah, I mean, ultimately, price is such a big deal. I mean, you think of the original PS1, it kind of knocking out Sega when they walked up and announced the price of, I think it was $199 or $299, which was far less than what the Sega Saturn was going to cost. That just knocked Sega out of the console industry, basically. So price is really, really important. And I think Sony is making a big mistake if they're going to charge $500 for more processing power.
Yeah. So it's a very curious thing for sure. And again, to be clear, this is just a report of a rumor, and we don't know if this is the real thing. But as history has shown us, they've gone this expensive in the past. They've even gotten more expensive in the past. So it really just depends. And as they have revealed to us, both the PS5 and the Xbox One, Xbox Series X, still is a terrible name. Okay, let's brainstorm. Better name for the Xbox Series X. Go.
I honestly believe even the original prototype name, the Xbox Scarlet, would be much better.
So simple. I mean, and they could have done like a really cool red and green coloring thing, so that they have like the Xbox green flare, but have it red to match the Scarlet name. So simple. But no, Xbox Series. Ugh.
Yeah, it is weird. Like Series implies that there's more than one.
Yeah.
So we'll see, you know, maybe they have the Xbox Series X2 or like Y.
No, we're getting into dangerous territory there. We're getting into dangerous territory there.
So, and then the Xbox Series X0, you know.
Right.
or Xbox Series X Legends, or I don't know.
Yeah, EXE.
That's it right there. Xbox Series.exe. or how about that, just the Xbox.exe? That'd be kind of fun.
Hey, listen, you know, that's kind of nice,
a riff on the internet, you know. It's the executable form, you know. Or go off of what you're doing with Halo, the Xbox Infinite, you know.
Yeah, no, that's good. I like
nice,
Xbox Infinite.
Nice and simple. But then what would they do for the next one? Because they can't go beyond Infinite. And I would say, I'm pretty sure one comes before 360. So shut up! But, seriously, like, again, I envy Sony because Nintendo and Microsoft have to work really hard to think of good names to sell. And as we've seen in the past, the Wii U was not a good attempt at that, but the Switch was. And yet with the Sony, all they have to do is add a number. What comes after 5? 6? What comes after 6? 7? I know. What comes after Final Fantasy Remake? We don't know! whatever. Anyway, but we do let us know what your thoughts on this, and tell us, what would you want to ideally pay? What would you reasonably, objectively pay for the Xbox Series X or the PS5? Like, if you had to be fair to them, and knowing the power and, like, imagine all the games you can get, what would you think is the ideal number? Let us know. Because we're honestly curious. So, with that, we are ending this episode of the Nintendo Entertainment Podcast. Tyler!
Yes, last week we asked you where your ideal Nintendo quarantine location was, and 25% of you said the Comet Observatory, 13% of you said Peach's Castle, 38% of you said DK Island, and 25% said Garagmok Monastery.
I am fascinated by that, because, I mean, I get it, you're on an island, and, you know, but this is DK Island!
Right.
We all know what happens there!
Yeah, I mean, like, it's a nice place, you know, DK Island's very cool, and you have your own island, but, like, it really depends on what iteration we're talking about, because Donkey Kong 64's DK Island, it's not that great. It's fairly bland.
And let's all forget about the claptraps, the bees, the giant exploding oranges.
Agreed. Yes. Agreed. I do think Garagmok, I went Comet Observatory, but I do think Garagmok has a strong argument because you do have so much space and you can grow your own food and catch some fish.
Fish.
Yeah, yeah.
Peach.
You can just sleep out in and Reyes.
What the heck was that? Peach.
So, yeah.
Is that honestly how you say it?
No, it's a South Park. I do just say Peach, though. I didn't realize I said Peach.
Oh,
but
gosh.
They try to hire people to write a story about the old man in the sea, and they call the fish.
Peach.
Peach was too Peach.
Are you going to go fishing with Mario?
Yeah, yeah.
No, I'm fascinated by it. And we were actually having an argument about a Garagmok Monastery because when we say quarantine spot, we do mean technically you by yourself, but the option is open to be like, say, with you and your family or you and your friends. And I said that I would hate being in Garagmok Monastery because if you're alone there, you're in this massive place by yourself. And Tyler was like, oh, but you can do exploring. That's fine for the first week. It's like summer vacation. All right, you don't mind being at home just playing video games for the first week because you've been waiting for this all freaking year. But then you get done playing the video games and then you're like, crap, I'm bored.
And I think because don't forget the heroine who actually was the leader of the whole before quarantine, and that's Bernadetta. She showed how she can live in a style like that.
Yeah, but so I argued like you should have at least like a few people from the monastery with you. Because oh, but that's risk of quarantine. Like no,
right.
If you know that none of you had it beforehand, as long as you don't interact with everybody else, you're fine. So I would want at least like one or two people to interact with because then I'm not bored. I can at least do things with these people.
Yeah, so. But I don't know. It's not social distancing.
Screw social distancing.
You got a strict adherence. Strict adherence to the rules.
It's like, I'm going to allow Todd to be in Garagmok Monastery, which I don't know where that is, but I'm sure it's a wonderful place. I'm going to allow him to be with some people because he deserves it. I mean, he's such a wonderful host, a benevolent host. I mean, Todd, you're truly awesome. Thank you, Donald. I appreciate it. I learned so much from you, like your amazing hair care tips. Oh, thank you. Thank you. A lot of people shave. Your hair is fake, just like my hair is not fake. I hate those people because, like, look at your hair. It's so beautiful. Thank you, Donald. I appreciate it. So... the hair thing just happened. I don't know how that came about, but whatever. So I don't know. I just DK Island, really? Because again, we also have to realize that the Kremlings, the Tikis, you know, the Trojans, like they all come to the island to screw with you. All right, somebody is gonna come to your island and try and mess with you. And then you've got the whole fact that you're living with the DK clan, because we did say it's his island, or else it's me. So if you touch even one of his bananas, you're getting sent into the stratosphere. All right, I wouldn't want to risk that. He's a very angry monkey.
So I'm thinking, like, even just if it's just you on DK Island, it's still, it's the survival build. The survivability is challenging because yes, there's water so you can fish, but it's not like Garagmok where it's like a nice pond or like the fish that are bred to get eaten, you know. Like we're talking about like you're gonna have to do some real foraging and survival over, like nobody wants to be trapped on a deserted island, even though DK Island is a great island. I'd have to say I'm sticking with my original, the Comet Observatory. Flying through space would never get old.
I'm still Garagmok as long as I have a few people around me. So, what did you vote for, Will?
Garagmok. I stand by what we discussed before.
Okay. So just making sure. All right. So this week, do we want a podcast question? There really hasn't.
I think we're good on a poll this week.
Yeah, we'll just
think we can take a break for this time around.
Let's take a break. So. With that, we're in this episode of the podcast. Let us know what you're doing in Animal Crossing to, you know, keep your spirits up. Are you going to get either Crisis Remastered or Jump Force when it gets ported to the Switch? Were you okay with Bravely Second? And how have you been enjoying Final Fantasy VII? And if you get a chance on Twitter or Facebook or whatever to send some praise to the VOcast, go do so. I'm sure it'll brighten their weekends. So, for Tellius Tyler and Warrior Will, I am Triforce Tyler. Ladies and gentlemen, we are out of time. We are not out of lives. We made it to the end of the level, so raise the flag.